Okay, first item on the agenda is the approval of the December 1st meeting minutes.
Agenda.
Agenda, rather.
Yeah. Chairman, I'd like to move that we approve this meeting as agenda.
There's a motion. Second, Tony. Any exceptions? All in favor, signify by raising your right hand. Passes 5-0. Okay, action items. Approval of the August 4th minute meetings. Meetings minutes, rather. Which was online.
Yeah, it was online.
Do I hear a motion?
I so moved.
Is there a second?
I second.
Okay. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. You said we can't, most people voice voting, right?
We're both voting. It's okay to voice vote tonight?
Yeah, we're starting.
All right.
May I ask a question, Chair?
Sure, sure.
Is this going to be the way it's going to be in the future?
Because speak up a little bit, though, I can't hear.
Only because we have medical support assistance now. You going to fill her position?
I don't know that.
You don't know that. So this might be the future, right?
For the time being, we're going to just be voice voting.
Okay, good enough.
Okay, next item. Is the endorsement of the core MPO meeting schedule.
So you see, we continue the schedule of meeting every other month, in the even number of months, if that makes sense, like February, April, June, etc. And it would continue to be on the first Thursday generally. So that's the way it's proposed. You see there. Are there any questions or concerns?
5:30.
Any other comments? Questions?
I kind of was wondering, I don't know if I talked to you about this, but when we had the hurricane, of course, and we missed the October meeting, we don't do a makeup on that, do we?
No, since the NPR board went ahead and met and acted on the items that were on your agenda, there's not a reason for you to go back and go over those items as an advisory committee.
Okay.
But the minutes of the MPO board meeting are on the website. If you need to know what was decided about those items or what was discussed.
It would have been what we decided in August and whatever that was.
Well, yeah, I was saying that if you wanted.
Yes.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Just wondering. Thank you.
Any other comments, questions? Okay, so I have a motion.
So moved.
Okay, motion.
Second.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next item is the 2040 Total Mobility Plan.
Okay, board members, remember in March we amended the 2040 Long Range Transportation Plan for the I-16 widening from I-516 to I-95, and then the I-95 and I-16 interchange reconstruction. GDOT is building those two projects as a design build project. So in the process, they are developing interstate modification report. So in that report, they suggested that with those two projects, the next segment between I-95 and Poudre Parkway will be congested at peak hours. So before they submit the IMR, the interstate modification report to Federal Highway Administration, they already expect that Federal Highway Administration will ask for consideration for that segment. So if you don't have that, that IMR might be rejected. So just to prevent that, that's my understanding of this request. So GDOT is request that we put some information on the I-16 widening from west for I-95 to Poudre Parkway into the third band, of the 2040 Long Range Transportation Plan. So that is for the preliminary engineering phase. And then for the construction phase, because it will be funded after that, so they put in the vision plan. So what we are doing right now is just to add the preliminary engineering phase to cost band 3. That's long range. So basically, that's 2031 to 2040. So when we update the next long range transportation plan, we might have this project included. So my analysis over here shows that adding that project, only like $1.6 million, won't impact other projects in cost band 3. So we should be able to accommodate this project. And just adding the construction phase into the vision plan, it's just illustrative. So it doesn't need any balancing. So it's just administrative modification at this point. So the analysis just shows that we can accommodate this. So we will ask the CEC to endorse to the MPO board to include the I-16 widening from I-95 to Poudre Parkway into the third band for preliminary phase of that project and into the vision plan, the construction phase.
Mr. Chair, question.
Go ahead, Tony.
The widening from I-95 to Poudre Parkway, is that the funding already been identified for that?
No, that's why they are adding it to the cost of band 3.
So it won't be paid for by the same project that's paying for widening from Lyons Parkway to I-95?
No.
Because that's supposed to start in 2018?
Yeah, that is a fast-tracked project, I-16 widening between I-516 to I-95 and I-95 and I-16 interchange reconstruction. So that's a design build project. That is on the Georgia governor's radar, so it's the highest priority for our area. But the problem is that in order to do that, before you can award the funds for construction, they have to go through all of those development of the design concepts, and then they don't have right acquisition, but they have to meet environmental processes, so they have to meet all of those requirements. One of the requirements is that because they are touching the interstate, so they have to develop the IMR, Interstate Modification Report. So right now, that IMR is still being developed, but GDOT is already foresees that they will have an obstacle for kickback from FHWA if in that report they don't consider the widening for the next segment. So that's they are trying to just do it ahead of the game, so.
Okay, and I guess the widening will continue to come out of the meeting.
They would just try to clear the obstacles for the future, for the projects to move forward. So okay. This is just to clear one of the obstacles.
Thank you.
But I think you're saying that while it comes to medium, you're going to put medium, it's going to be shrunk in order to widen that road, right?
Yeah, that's according to that interstate needs analysis they developed in 2008. But right now it's a design build project, so we really don't know the exact design. Or what kind of alignment, we really don't know. That's because the design build project is still being developed. So what the language I put over there, that's just for reference, that's identified in their previous study. When they requested the MTP amendment, the TIP amendment, they just told us they're going to widen the project, but what kind of alignment, what kind of concept, we don't know. We really don't know. If you attended, because Tony and I, we both attended one of the public information open houses, they show over there, but those alternatives, several alternatives, so we really don't know which alternative they're going to choose.
But it did seem like, I don't know, it seemed like staff that was there, and included the district engineer, that it got from Jessup. Mm-hmm. But, they seemed to indicate that the preferred option was to just take it from the middle and that sort of thing. You know, but it was an open house. It was mm-hmm. informational in nature. You know, that was it. I mean, the code was right.
It was very informative up there.
What?
That show and tell up there that they had
yes.
for that.
Well, I very informative. Recorded, didn't you?
Yeah, we actually provided some input. I think at least they documented our input. We don't know how they're going to consider those input, but I mean, we provided it.
They seemed perceptive.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine looking at that thing where they're talking to come out there, that big sweep over there going up.
That's, yeah, I think
16.
They do it all the time. They do it all the time in Atlanta. So.
Yeah, so that's one of the alternatives I remember. So for that interchange, so
spaghetti junction.
Yeah, we really like don't that. Know what the final design will look like at this point. So we were just trying to help them to move the project forward, because we just want to have those parcels built. Especially I normally travel on I-95 and then I get to US 80 because I am afraid of that interchange. I don't go to that way. So
question that I have.
It's definitely substandard, as all get.
Yes, substandard, yes.
The question that I had, I can understand adding on the Pooler Parkway to 95, but when Deloche is finished from 80 to Bloomingdale exit, the idea of that is to have a bunch of trucks use that to keep the trucks off the area.
Yeah, but I would assume the trucks would just go west towards Atlanta instead of coming east to Pooler Parkway and then I-95. So it should go. So Jimmy Deloche Parkway just provides an alternative route for the trucks to avoid the I-16 between I-16 to Jimmy Deloche. So the trucks would just move from the west of there. That's my assumption.
Yeah, just look at that thing. You end up with two lanes from Pooler to Bloomingdale exit.
I think future development will impact Jimmy Deloche. Future development.
Yeah. But I think right now, I don't think GDOT is thinking that ahead yet. So they are trying to focus on implementing the projects that's already on the table.
I will only be 115 years old when they build that, though. I'm looking forward to it.
Hopefully, these two projects will be built in the next several years, so you will see some progress. Yeah, and then also, I think, right now they're doing what was that called? I-95 at State Rock.
Good afternoon, sir.
What was that? Diverging Diamond?
Yeah, the Diverging Diamond, so.
Yeah, 21.
Yeah, last I heard that they were trying to just open one of the lanes before the shopping season starts, so.
It's pretty involved right now. It's pretty involved.
Yeah.
You've been through that. I mean, I've been through there.
Yes.
Rush hour, non-rush
yes.
hour, it's very involved.
Yes.
Talking about 21-95?
So they are talking about, at least the representative from Purcell, and she's talking about they're going to open that interchange, and then the interchange, you were concerned about King George Boulevard interchange. She said they're going to try to open those two interchanges before the holiday season starts, so that traffic can move better. So
I sure
good luck with that.
Huh?
They're nowhere near the 21 Divergent Diamond. They're nowhere near moving that one.
No, they were not saying that they won't complete the project totally, but they will open the lane so you can travel.
I travel it every day. I think I'm rather disappointed in the progress. But we'll see.
Okay, for this project, we just recommended the CEC you endorse your approval to the Cornfield Board to include this project to the MDP.
Is there any more questions, comments? Do I hear a motion?
I so move. That we accept the staff endorsement.
Right.
Okay. Second.
Is there a motion? Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Thank you. The next
2015-2018 TIP.
Yeah, the next project is also related. Remember, when we added those two projects, one widening and one interchange reconstruction into the TIP and the MTP, we know there will be amendments because at that time, nothing is certain, nothing is clear. So now, we get a little bit more information. We know that we need additional funding in fiscal 2017 for the preliminary engineering. So this is the TIP amendment, basically for the I-16 widening from I-95 to I-516. Currently, we have $5.3 million in fiscal 2016. That funds are being authorized. And we have construction in 2018, but now GDOT is telling us that they need additional money, additional $9.1 million in 2017. So basically that will increase the total preliminary engineering phase into about like $14 million. Because it's a design build project, so you won't see the progress until something is taking shape. So we're just adding more money into fiscal 2017 to just for the design. For this project.
All board. Motion to approve, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, one question that I had, if I may just say. Look at that thing, preliminary engineering, additional of $9.1 million.
Yeah, see, we actually have construction in $25 million, $26 million. I expect that to increase too. Because when we were doing the MTP amendment and TIP amendment, these numbers are just preliminary. So, I mean, for such a big project with such big scope, it's impossible you have like $5 million. That's definitely not enough. But at that time, they said they need that much. But when we adopted the MTP and the TIP amendment, we already know that we're going to make changes to these numbers. So now they said, okay, they have a better idea about how much money they need for the design. So this is the additional money. I expect this construction to be much, much more than $75 million, so.
Yeah, when I looked at that thing, $9 million additional for just the preliminary engineering. Okay, did I hear a motion?
It's here.
Tony,
motion approved.
Second?
I second.
Okay, any questions? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Passes. Okay, next item is the status report.
What we are trying to do right now, remember, when we have two pots of money that we want to do the call for projects. One part that I'm managing is the Z230 money. So we normally have $4 million, but with master funds, it's about $5 million every year. And then Jane will manage the TAP funds, and she's going to talk about the transportation alternatives call for projects. So we are trying to issue call for projects for these two pots of money in December, so that we can have the people to apply for the funds and then have the project evaluated and selected so that we can include the projects into the next fiscal year, 2018 to 2021 Transportation Improvement Program. So we actually, yeah, we're still developing the process today. So this is the proposed schedule. And for both pots of money, and this is the schedule, so we hopefully will have the MPO board approve our schedule and the selection process, and then have the call for projects starting at the end of December, and then at the end of November, we will have all the applications. And then in February, we will have a like project ranking based on the scores they get. And then in February and March, we have the final revenue projections from GDOT, and we can award the exact amount of money into those projects. And then we will just include the projects into the Transportation Improvement Program. So this is the This is the proposed schedule, and the process, we have actually a pre-screening process, and then and also for how to select the projects, we are proposing all these categories. So we're asking that normally, actually, next week when we have the TCC meeting, so TCC will really delve into these details, like what criteria, what scoring system, what is the weighting system, so they will deal with that. But for CEC, we're just reporting this to you, just to let you know. And you will have, it will be briefed in February when it takes more shape. But right now, it's just everything is still being proposed. So it's a status report for today.
Okay. So any questions, comments? What do you need from us, anything?
No, just information.
Just information.
Yeah, you will get more information. You will be briefed more in February. So we know what kind of applications we have received. Probably by the next CEC meeting, we probably haven't started to score the projects, but we should tell you what kind of projects we have received at that time. So you will be briefed in February and April on exactly what projects and what have projects have been selected.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess we're down to public comments, if any. That doesn't look like they're are it.
Safety check that one off, Mr. Chairman.
Announcements. Staff have any comments on the RIN project?
This is just to let us know. I think that they're going to, there's going to be a project briefing on the 7th, right?
Yes.
This is all about.
Yeah, I think Jay sent out the notification to all of you.
Yeah.
So if you receive, if you're interested, you can just attend.
Yeah, this is the city's project, so we don't have any additional information ourselves.
Okay.
Thank you. Victory Drive.
That was provided for information as an attachment. Do you have questions or want any additional information about it? The presentation was attached. I don't know if you all saw it.
I glanced at it, but I didn't go with it.
This was the same presentation that we showed 2 weeks ago on November 17th. It's fairly detailed, so I'm not going to talk it through all the way tonight, but it does go over the findings from looking at phase three of the Victory Drive corridor and some recommendations to address the issues. The corridor phase includes the part from V Road to just east of Skidaway Road. As you can expect, some of the issues under transportation or congestion, crash frequency, the lack of alternative parallel routes, you're kind of forced to use Victory to get through that area to some extent. You have to, or else go all the way up, go to Henry and Anderson, but that doesn't get you very far. That gets you to Skidaway, Road, or President Street. It's a hurricane evacuation route. Sidewalks are incomplete. Intersections are not accessible for what do they call it now? Not handicapped, but
accessible. They're not ADA.
They're not ADA compliant. and the bus stop facilities are somewhat degraded. Under the landscape category, the D the framework of Oaks and Palms has been interrupted with either development or the fact that the mulching, the mulch and the median is not retained by the curbs anymore, and so it washes away and the heat gets to it, the exhaust. So the landscaping has declined over the years. Maintenance might be an issue. And then under urban design and land use, there's a change in scale between the commercial development and the residential development in the area, which sometimes provides controversy and conflict. So we have proposed some landscaping and diagrams for the corridor, basically retaining the lanes as they are. The median would stay the width as it is wherever it is, you know. But the landscaping within the median would be replaced. Landscaping along the trees that are missing should be replaced. Maintenance should be improved. And the prototype says that, you know, sidewalks should be provided behind the tree lawn ideally, and with pedestrian scaled lighting. There are some parts of the corridor where the existing pavement takes up most of the right-of-way, you know, the turn lanes at Skidaway Road and Victory Drive. You've got left turn lanes, you've got right turn lanes. And so there's not a lot of right-of-way left to do these improvements for landscaping or sidewalks. In those cases, you might need to work with the property owners as those parcels are redeveloped and offer incentives if they would, you know, help us create this prototype. By, you know, we might need like 2 feet of their parcel to get the sidewalk in or something like that. On some parcels, maybe up to as much as 10 feet, but we're not talking about taking their parcel or anything. So the recommendations relate to those issues, obviously, providing sidewalks and accessible intersections, better bus stops. The congestion can be partly addressed by access management strategies. That includes reducing the amount of driveway openings. We're not talking about taking away existing driveway openings, but as parcels are redeveloped, standards could be put into place that the driveway openings would be shared. I'll show you like this, where you have, there's Victory Drive, you have a sort of a driveway that goes into the parcel, and then you get to the additional parcels from within local streets inside the development. And those local streets then allow people to get between the stores and stuff without getting back on Victory Drive, just to go a few hundred feet and get off of Victory Drive again. That can really help with the congestion. And over time, that as adjacent parcels are developed, they each connect their internal street to each other, so that you end up with see the bottom image there with the arrows going in between the parcels, but that sort of creates a baggage road, if you will. Then the landscaping recommendation, as I said, plant the trees where they're missing. The city already is testing a median prototype actually on Victory near Bull Street. They have kind of a plan for the sunny areas. It's got turf, and then a plan for the shadier areas with azaleas. So we recommend they continue applying that throughout the corridor. Doing a tree assessment, identifying specimen trees so that they could be protected. The stormwater management plan has been a recommendation in every phase so far. Creating a gateway look at the interchange by improving the types of plantings that are there. This is an example from a different area. It doesn't have to be this formal, and of course they don't have the palms and stuff shown here because this is not a coastal location, but that's the idea where it could, there's definitely room for it to look a lot better and be more of a message that you've arrived at this special place. And then on the urban design recommendations, these strategies of access management and the creating that landscape prototype could be achieved possibly through an overlay district. And the overlay district can apply additional or replace standards that are in the zoning, underlying zoning district. And possibly also provide incentives for meeting the standards. Maybe not standards if they're not mandatory, but the idea of the regulations. So, like, if they're willing to provide that 2 feet of right-of-way that's needed for the sidewalk and landscaping, then they get some sort of density bonus or reduction in parking requirements for their development, that kind of thing.
I think that's smart. I think that's laudable and smart.
And so along Victory, the idea would be to create or emphasize a consistent setback, allowing for the what's already there, what's there in other places where you would have, this would create sort of a main street feel to the corridor if the setback was consistent. And so you could have like one bay of parking between the street and the building, but not a huge field of parking. There could be additional parking behind these first front buildings, and then a larger store, back there. So this kind of exists in some places already, but
those are out parcels.
Yeah, those happen to be out parcels, but you could even like have that one continuous building. Up there at the front.
I think that's a good idea.
So these are some of the incentives that could be provided to the as the parcels develop. Property tax credit, stormwater credit.
Excuse me. This place home to me that I live in that area, and I'm aware, and you probably aware too, that you took the road to Skidaway on Victory. There's a stretch from where Tomb Poppy ends, to Victory itself, where there is no sidewalk, and people do want to walk there.
Right, and we're recommending.
You would give people incentive to give you 2 feet.
Well, it's not needed in the part, but it's not needed in the additional right of ways to put the sidewalk in is not needed in all blocks, mm-hmm. or even for the whole block. So, like the part between Wall and Skidaway. That's the right-of-way there is pretty, the right-of-way that's not being used by the pavement already is pretty wide, so we probably don't need to take any, to request any additional right-of-way from those parcels.
Well, I think you need it because we have to, we have to negotiate, we have to walk.
Well, we are saying
trees and bushes because there's no paved street there.
We are saying that
One side of the street is paved, the other side is not paved, and that particular stretch.
Right, we are proposing that the landscaping and sidewalk be put in there. It's just that we can do it within the public right-of-way already.
So you have an existing public to do that, what you're saying?
Right, it's public. It's within public space that could fit.
Okay.
So now the thing that might have to be done is that the slope and the drainage ditch location might be a little bit of a problem.
At the NPO board last month, where the property owners had their attorney and member of the Chamber of Commerce and three property owners came and appeared before the board, several things that they were concerned about and didn't I didn't think were in favor of.
Right. Well, we didn't have the recommendations, the detailed recommendations available at that time. I had not even seen them. So they had some fears about what they were going to be, and they had the impression that we were, you know, holding it back and not sharing with them. But we shared it with them as soon as we had looked at them ourselves, a few days in advance of their stakeholder meeting we had, especially for them a couple weeks ago. And that's like the, we had several opportunities for them in September as well that were outside of our scope that we did extra, because in August they didn't really like the larger group format for a property owners meeting that we had in here. They were like, we want to sit down in the smaller discussions. So we did that in September. For some reason, at the beginning of this process in August, they had the impression that we had already figured out exactly what we wanted in the overlay district and what the regulations were going to be, and that we hadn't told them. But we didn't have any of that figured out. We were just starting the study. We knew that an overlay is a tool that could be used in these kind of special areas to get the results that you're looking for to protect the public assets, but we didn't know exactly what the requirements would be for a proposed overlay. So I think they heard someone say the word overlay and they became fearful, and that's what they were reacting to. But our discussions with them recently have been pretty good. So I don't know, I imagine they will come to the NPO meeting next week as well. I'm not sure what they're going to say at this point.
Yeah, I noticed on that, on the spot there where you want a common driveway, that they were not enthused over that, because they didn't want somebody coming in and then having to go down property owner to property owner to property owner to get to a business down. As I remember, they weren't enthused over that idea.
I think it can depend on exactly which businesses are located beside each other. But, I mean, personally for me, I would rather be able to get between the parcels without having to sit through the traffic again. And, I mean, if we don't do something, then people are just going they're just going to write off that area. I mean, you know, customers are just going to write off the area and say, I'm not going over there. So, and we're not widening the road. So the things we're talking about are some of the only things that we can really do to improve the congestion.
I was, I got the idea earlier that we were looking at a way of moving traffic quicker.
Well,
it looks like to me like we're looking at how to make it prettier when you're sitting in traffic.
Well, these will improve the flow by getting the short trips off of Victory. So the people that are going from store to store, they could stay off of Victory and go in between the parcels without getting back on Victory. That would help the people who are just going through the area continue to go through the area. And the driveway openings, you know, the more driveway openings you have, the more stopping and slowing down you have. So the access management is all about keeping the flow on the main road,
mm-hmm.
and getting the slow movements off of the road.
Any other questions? Okay. You don't need anything from us there.
No, it was really just not even intended to be a presentation, but since the meeting went pretty fast and you made an effort to get here, in case you all weren't at the community meeting, I just went through it a little bit.
Were the property owners at this meeting recently, were they there?
One or two were, I know. I think a lot of them, they prefer not to come to a general public meeting. They prefer to have, you know, smaller conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they told us in August. They're like, we're not going to come to a public meeting. You need to set up an additional meeting to talk to us. So we did.
The paper said it was a pretty good turnout for that meeting, wasn't it? The one recently?
Yeah, we had, I think we had 80 or so people, 75 or 80. Yeah, 80, I'm pretty sure, because of the number of chairs on each side. It was like 40, at least 80, I think.
It's a good turnout.
In August, we had, I think, even more.
I'm curious to find out what, first of all, they could accomplish at a private meeting with the staff that they couldn't learn or express in a public meeting. Are they trying to leverage? I mean, there's some say, well, explain it to me what you want to do. What options do we have? That they can hear at a public meeting, that they can have in a private meeting.
Well, I think they wanted...
What they hope to accomplish in one, they couldn't accomplish in the other.
Well, it's our intent to talk to the property owners as a separate stakeholder group anyway. But the way we did it in August was not quite what they wanted, because we had combined, we invited all the property owners to the same meeting, and they were telling us that like they almost wanted to talk to us one-on-one, but we couldn't quite do that. But we did set up several different options for them to talk with us in September so that they didn't have to all come to the same meeting. But one reason we set up separate meetings for stakeholders is that sometimes their concerns are not things that they want everyone to hear, but they want us to know it, so they prefer to talk to us. I mean, but we had a separate meeting for the, you know, the people who live in the area too. They're stakeholders, and they got to have their separate meeting too. Not one-on-one, but we invited residents in the general area.
My impression is to strip out the dimension from, I guess if you're traveling this way, going east, would be on the right side of the street from where it seems. That is pretty much commercial. You know, that's true. And I think the people who own that, it's really the single owner, probably the person who owns Victor Square. You know, they probably own all of that. And now people like the businesses that are occupying that space, they're not property. They're not the stakeholders in the way, but they're not really the ones who are impacted so much by the decision, you know, to widen, to pave that side of the street as well as having, because you have South Central to pave as well. So you're not talking about a private owners as much as you are talking about a company that owns a stock of land.
Well, I mean, we're not talking about widening the road, but
I'm talking about widening, I'm talking about just paving the road. If they have interest, say, well, we don't want to,
You mean resurfacing?
No, I'll talk about
you're going to get them to donate an extra bit of land for the
widen the
sidewalk.
The sidewalk we're talking about.
And the tree bread. And my feeling is if it's highly concentrated in fewer owners, easier to negotiate with. They're probably economically vested. They want to have a nice development. They, you know, as long as they, if you give them some carrots, like reduce your number of parking requirements, on-space parking requirements, as you say, add a little bit of a density, maybe, you know, an extra out parcel or something, they're going to go for it. I think that's smart. They're going to go for it. I think you'll be successful with it, but I'll be looking forward to hearing what they say.
Yeah, and on the flip side, you know, what they do with their parcel, I mean, it is their business, but it does affect, you know, the design of the site does affect how people move through the area. It attracts more traffic, so that creates more congestion, that affects everybody. So we're trying to reach some recommendations that help the public interest without hurting any particular individual excessively.
Any other questions, comments? Okay. And let's see. A poison pen letter from Atlanta.
That was another informational item.
I looked at that thing. There's 30 items on there, and some of them are due today. Do two separate.
Well, some of those things were actually, we are already doing, but they, the way it's phrased makes it sound like we're not, like I said.
Interesting. Any other comments, questions?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Motion to adjourn, or you just going to declare the meeting in adjournment?
You reset.
January what? What's our next meeting?
February.
February 2nd.
February 2nd.
You're going to send out notices, right? Good.
This will be our last meeting of this year, so all of you have a merry, merry Christmas and happy New Year's, and drive safely, because I'll be out there too.
Question?
Yes, sir.
In 2017, are we going to be looking at a board that looks a little different than this? Because you said this at the quorum. The question is, obviously, you know, how you want to see what the board is. To say with the quorum or not, I think it's probably not. But the point is, what are we going to be looking at as in terms of numbers for this group? Therefore, in terms of what the quarter, you know, what the quorum might be. So, maybe more people, different people here in 2017 than we see now.
The quorum is determined by the bylaws saying 35% of the appointed members. Now the appointments are done by the member jurisdictions, and we have reminded them occasionally that they need to make appointments. So we'll continue to do that. City of Savannah, you know, they recently made some, so they probably won't have new ones. But some of the other jurisdictions could possibly have some appointments.
We have three members of the committee who were not here today. We have seven vacancies: Bloomingdale, Garden City, Pooler, City of Savannah, Thunderbolt, Tybee, and Vernonburg, who have made no appointment.
Well, there was one seat they didn't fill back in the spring. They had a different ending date for this person's term than we did, so. Anyway, I think they advertised that one in the fall, so maybe that one will get appointed. City of Savannah's been staying on it pretty well. Dr. Goldwire informed us that she's no longer the representative from Effingham. I don't know if that's just because she resigned, or I have to look back and see if Effingham only appointed her for a year. So it was supposed to be 2 years, but anyway, so she's actually apparently not a member now. So she's not absent, she's just not a member. But so we have seven appointed members right now. 35% of that was 2.45, so we said three was the quorum, and we have that.
Yeah, makes sense. Might want to rattle some more cages so you get some more faces up here.
Well, at the MPO board, every time I mention it to the cities, that they're getting behind, not making the appointment, and they say, we can't find anybody. So it doesn't happen. But I try.
Are there currently any Chatham County vacancies?
No.
Good. Y'all have a good
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to y'all. Happy New Year. Have a safe one.
We're adjourned.